All right, so we ended our executive session at 6:40. Do we have to make a motion to come back into open session? I would like to make a motion to come back into open session at 6:42. Can I get a second?
Second the motion. Sorry.
Aye.
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 And action item L, prestige discussion and possible vote for superintendent salary and benefits for the 2020-2021 school year. I would like to make a motion to increase Mr. Macklin's salary by 4% to be fair with the rest of the employees here in Naco Elementary School District. As far as leave, make an annual leave increase to 42 days, also to make it fair with other employees in the district. The bonus for Mr. Macklin's evaluation at $2,600. And cell phone reimbursement at $25 biweekly. And the life insurance is going to remain the same. Can I get a second?
Second the motion.
Aye. Aye. And the next thing we got is the superintendent's report.
So in the superintendent report, I did have to bring up the toys out in front out here and then some of the furniture in the library. I also wanted to let you know that we as a district from the CARES Act will receive $120,000. And so we Donna has submitted claims that we used during the COVID problem previously to them, and we should be able to draw that back. We can use it for things like salaries that were paid when actual work, you know, really wasn't being done to the full extent, and buying PPE and all that kind of fun stuff. So $120,000 we didn't count on, which will help. Every penny that we get helps. The waterline project is moving forward. We got the $13,500 from the SFB board. And if you want to take a look at it after the meeting, just holler and I'll walk down there with you and kind of explain the mess. But we had two different groups come in and mark our water lines and electric and everything else. And I think they got about half of the lines marked, because I think we broke about four lines that weren't marked. So thank God they weren't computer and things like that. But
and who did? Who was doing that, Raul?
Probably. Yeah. So plans for reopening. I'm going to tell you what I tell the parents and the teachers. By July 15th or thereabouts, we should have a better idea. Right now, you know, we've got an outbreak in Mexico. We got an outbreak in cases on the rise in Arizona. I honestly don't think that the state has a clue. We got 52 pages in one pamphlet and three other pamphlets to read about how to start up school. And I gave you guys a whole bunch of stuff. I gave you that calendar of events, so take a look at that, because that's got those school board events on it, and I really would like to see you guys get to that. There's another one about what's going on and what they're talking about with K-12 education, just so you're informed if somebody asks you. This is an open letter. I'm coming from all the county superintendents. They ask the superintendents for their input, and then they put this letter together. Again, this is something that's actually going to Governor Ducey on Friday. They haven't even mailed it yet. They sent it back out to us. I sent them a couple of tweaks that I think should be changed, so then they'll do that. This is the updated work schedule for our maintenance and custodial group.
All right.
We'll put together a different schedule every month by what's needed and how many hours we need. So they all understand that they're in that flexible time. And so we had a meeting this morning that actually went very well, I thought. This is from the trust. This is one of the things that we got about reopening. So if you need something to put you to sleep, start reading that. And you'll understand what a pain it's going to be to reopen and try to meet all
well,
of the CDC guidance.
We were talking about it at work today that they were comparing us, Arizona, to the New York people. And based on population and based on that, all of that, we are doing really bad. Our numbers are increasing faster. I mean, because we're so, it's a small community, it's a smaller community, smaller state than New York people and all that. We are increasing faster than
well,
what they
the
do.
Problem is that the protests that happened,
yes.
We haven't even seen what's going to come from the protests
after
yet.
That, yes.
We just started doing all the testing too,
right.
So that's why some of the numbers
so I think
are
there are a lot
the
of
numbers
people
are
that,
rising so
yeah.
fast right now. It's
that's the one thing, it's hard.
Naco?
I wish.
Naco Sonora right now, I think they, actually, with Naco, Arizona and Bisbee, there's no. The cases are in Sierra Vista, Douglas, and Wilcox.
And there's one in Naco, Sonora that I know of.
Naco, Sonora has three positives.
Three, okay.
Uh-huh.
And then they said
so Wilcox is the one that is blooming right now, and it's mostly because, they were saying because of it being on the highway
or interstate.
Yeah, so those are where the cases are at right now.
They said five people from Douglas Unified School District tested positive.
Mm-hmm. I have three different plans. I think ultimately when it comes to reopening, it's probably going to be a combination of a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of things out there, and trying to think out of the box as far as alternating schedules and different things like that. So at the next meeting, I'll have more information for you, because by then we'll have a better count. I don't want to throw something out there and get people, you know, too terribly excited about things. But
I do have a lot of people asking me, it's like, how are you guys going to start? And I go, we're going to put everybody in bubbles.
Yeah, we're going to do the very best we can, but we're going to make sure that we do it as safely as possible. And so there are some different things out there. And so I think I've got a couple of good ideas and stuff. It really, really comes down to what's going to drive how everybody does it is how the state's going to count ADMs, average daily memberships. And if the state's going to free it up, like in the House bill they passed 2910 this spring, to not hold everybody accountable to seat time, then if they're a little flexible with that, then we got some things we can do. So I've got some plans for that. Hopefully we'll know more by the 15th or the 14th when we have our meeting. Office going to be open. We're going to be open every day of the week now. Thursdays and Fridays, we're going to have somebody at the front desk until noon. And then we'll just turn the lights off in the front area and then we can work. But we're going to, starting next week, we're going to go back to full, all 5 days. I think it'll be fine. First glance, like I said, Donna noticed, what was the amount?
$199,000
for all the meals that we supplied to the kids while we were closed.
$199,000?
Yes.
Wow.
We get more money for those plants than we can charge.
Wow.
So with that, there's a community program, and since we are 87% free and reduced.
Are we 80%? Or I thought it was higher than that.
It's 80-some, I don't know.
Donna. I'm thinking it's closer to 89.
I thought it was almost 90,
yeah.
Right.
It's hard.
Yeah.
But there's a community program where everybody eats free. And so we're going to look into that tomorrow. And Sally's coming in, and we're going to sit down, and we're going to all go through that. We also got the word that we're going to be audited for the cafeteria. Anyway, you know, if you're not audited for one thing, you're audited for another. So we'll be going through that this fall. But the food program was, we were very lucky. Julie was here all the time helping. Linda Mock came in. The Filipinos came in. I mean, we had, you know, three or four other people who came in that weren't getting paid that just showed up and came in and helped. So it was really nice. It's nice to see that chunk come back to us, because that will help us when we have to go with the accountability from the state.
Well, and then, too, the people really appreciated it.
Yes, they did. It got very good PR. I know a lot of parents were very thankful. We ran out of food a couple of times, and a couple of times we had too much.
So what are we doing now? We're
right now we don't have anything because we just didn't have any. I talked with the cafeteria people, and there really wasn't anybody who wanted to work all summer. And
well, maybe that's good to take a little hiatus for everybody. They need it.
And we'll see, because we may be right back where we were.
And the parents can be responsible to some extent.
But I think that got us some very good things. So we are going to look into that number six, that community program. Number seven, we ordered these good cotton cloth face masks for the staff. So we got everybody one good one, reusable and washable. I don't have one for each day or anything like that. I'm sure I'll have a couple of staff members who will say that they can't wear the same one or two days in a row.
People are saying that you can always turn it over and reuse it.
They can buy another one if they want to.
Not my opinion, Mary.
But everybody, every staff member, everybody on staff will get one. We'll see. Maybe like at the end of each quarter, we'll give another one or however many weeks. We'll see how that goes.
We got a whole bunch of face masks at work put on them and said made in China. They said made in China.
Oh.
So,
and I perused a lot of the face masks before I ordered them to make sure they were not coming from China.
Okay.
No kidding. Who's boxing those things up?
I nixed one.
We are ordering gloves, masks, and as much of that alcohol dispenser stuff that's not just straight tequila that we can.
Made in the United States.
I got a feeling someone, you spray some of that in, we had one and somebody goes, that smells like tequila.
Yeah. The strong one, the real good strong one smells like tequila. That's the one. Our office staff, one of the ladies went to Tucson, and I forgot the name where she bought it, but they had all of the Clorox wipes, sanitizer, gloves, masks. They had everything in stock over there in Tucson, but I need to get the name and I'll send it to you.
We get two or three offers emailed to us or faxed to us every day, and so Donna keeps grabbing and checking the costs, and when we find one that's a little cheaper, then we go and we order a couple cases. So we're hiding everything that we can because we're going to need it this month. So
the lady, that's what she was doing at work, and the ones up in Tucson, the office supply or
you find out
cleaning
where
supply
at?
Group
yeah.
or something like that, they were a lot cheaper.
Yeah, we can't find Clorox wipes, so if you hear of any store that's got a lot of them, let me know.
Well, see, one of the things we haven't been really addressing is the fact that your shoes you're wearing, if you step in contaminants, you take it home, you walk in your house,
right.
you're tracking right in there.
Plus, then you go and take your shoes off, so now you got them on your hands.
Well, you can take your shoes off
you
if you don't touch the outside of them, but they have things where you can actually have to, some places where you have to walk through a little Clorox water thing, before you get in. So we don't have to get sprayed down every day or something.
Okay, so I use that. Number eight, we're kind of in the middle of registrations for the fall. You guys know, just like everybody else, that by the 25th of July we'll have a decent idea, and by the middle of September we'll have a pretty good idea. If you don't register, your kidney's going to be home with you. All right. Number nine there, just again, I think we already talked about it, but Arizona, Latin America, Mexico, all the numbers are just going crazy right now. You see Brazil and the mass graves that they've got, five, six people buried on top of each other. It's crazy. It's also serious. We had one of our students lost his grandparents, so it's a serious thing. I told you we'd be audited by ED Food Service. We're looking into trying to get some more money from the SFB. We want to replace or repair this roof and the roof on the other building over there. Both leak badly. And we also have some HVAC machines that we have a couple up here that haven't worked for Armando thinks it's been about 4 or 5 years since they shut them down. And then we got one over on that building that's giving us trouble, and we got two down by the gym we have to just tune up and repair a little. So we have some of that. So any of them that we have to replace, we're hoping that we can get it all put together with the roofing and then send it to SFB and get that paid for by them. So we will do our best to get that. The last thing is something I really haven't said anything to you guys about, because Ms. Morgan and Ms. Horton and I have been working to try to get all the grants done. But one of the goals that I had, and Julie, of course, being technology, and Mr. Rodriguez would love to get more computers. One of the things I wanted to work towards was a one-to-one initiative where each of our students in grades 5 through 8 had a computer in their hand for the whole day. And after we roll all the money forward from title, we are going to be very close to having a computer, a Chromebook, in every kid's hand, grades 5 through 8, this year.
From and what levels? What grade level?
Grades 5 through 8.
5 through 8.
And then the other thing is we have a rack right now that's being used in middle school of laptops. And our plan for those, at least some of them, is to give each teacher that wants to have a laptop so they can take it home to do work off of it, a laptop as well as their stationary desk thing. That will help us in many ways. Like when a teacher's gone, they can send us all of their work. They can have it on that computer, and then they can send us their lesson plans and all of that stuff. I can't imagine. I can't remember since my first 4 years of teaching not having a laptop. So I can't imagine where you got to be at your laptop to do anything with school. I mean, I did so many things, so many hours at home that I couldn't imagine not doing it. So so that's our hope. And if everything works out right, Donna looked at the numbers, and it is, we're going to use the rollover money for that. So that's where they were. We'll have to buy a couple more carts, but we got new iPads. We have iPads for the kindergarten class, so they will all, each student in that kindergarten class will have an iPad the whole time they're there, both morning and afternoon sessions. And then we will hopefully be one-to-one with Chromebooks for the
whole 5 years. How do you make sure they don't walk away? How do you do that?
You have to have a license agreement with each student and their parent.
Oh.
And they're going to get a computer. We'll have to have them all numbered. And we'll have to give them, and then
they'll have a very specific, this serial number belongs to
right.
the student, so
yeah.
if that one goes missing, it's this student that we talked to. They won't be like, just grab the one off the top.
Oh,
of the
that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. And
they're being responsible if anything happens.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And our plan is, like, Brisa's a fifth grader, so we're going to give Brisa this Chromebook. Brisa's going to have that Chromebook until she goes through eighth grade. She'll have the exact same Chromebook.
Oh, so she's returning it every day.
She'll use it during the day, and then we have a room where they're going to
take
it back
to.
They're not going to take
it home. Oh, okay.
Now, here's the deal.
They're not taking it home. They'll be there tomorrow.
Right. But if we end up in a situation like we did this year, where we have such a long period of time without, we could make an adjustment where we could allow them to take them home. It's a scary proposition.
Yeah, it is.
Because as soon as they leave,
that's
here,
just like a money
things
to something
happen.
To somebody.
Yeah.
You know.
So, but it does free up some options for us, because right now we don't have any options. We didn't have options for that. We didn't.
Right.
We don't have enough internet down there right now. But
yeah.
So, okay, that's all I got. Any questions? Oh yes, the Bisbee. All right. So, I just gave you this, and I didn't put it on there simply because I just want to talk about it. If you look at the breakdown on the preliminary cost, there's M&O, there's capital outlay, there's transportation, there's total cost for regular student, total cost for sped students. And then they have their breakdown of how much each student in those categories cost them at the high school. It should look like this. You got yours?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you look at that, there's two things that I have questions about. I have gone back and forth with the superintendent. He just had an emergency eye surgery Friday. So anyway, he's going to get me the materials I requested, because I want to look at, Palominas doesn't get charged for transportation, but Palominas drives their high school kids to the Bisbee High School. So Palominos is recording those miles, and they're getting reimbursed for them.
Wow.
So what I'm looking at is we're paying $67,242.02 to Bisbee in money that flows through us to get them for transportation.
So can we provide our own transportation to them?
Yeah, right on the same line as me. Because, you know, we have a special needs student.
Right.
We're going to have to provide 5 hours of aid that we haven't had in preschool right now. And I actually have someone that applied that actually has a bus driver license and has worked with special ed kids.
Right.
So there might be a possibility of finding a position there where we run a double route, double count the miles in the afternoon, have that person stop at Head Start and do their special ed work after they're done with the route. And then if this U of A thing pans out and I have a couple people that are involved in that, I'm going to need a couple more special ed hours anyway at our school. We might be able to just create a whole position of all of this stuff, and it's not going to cost us $67,000. So if we can recoup $67,000,
And you can make it simple. Just have them show up here and then we transport over there versus having different bus stops.
Well, and here's the
See, before we used See? To, we've done it both ways. We did have where our kids would ride the Bisbee bus. Remember? They were the Bisbee bus. And then we decided it would be cheaper for us to transport them, you know. But then when we were talking about transporting our kids, like when our eighth graders leave here, we're supposed to be transporting them to the high school. But then we're not just paying for those kids. We're paying for the other however many come from across the line just to go to high school. They didn't go to NACA school at all, you know. And so that's kind of the glitch there. We're not recovering any of those funds. But then we started transporting them ourselves. And then, because we tried just about everything after we got hit with all that. So that's something with that.
We can claim the students and we can claim the miles.
Right.
And so it's something I told Donna we need to look at and really dig into how much we could recoup. Because if we could recoup a full position, just recouping that position and adding extra help and then not costing us anymore, that's kind of a win-win. So we're going to look at that and see. I've asked for a copy of the agreement that they said that was signed. I don't know by who or when, but there was an agreement that was signed. And so we'll get that. We're going to take a look at that. The other thing is the special ed costs, because as that money transfers, basically they send the bill to the state sends a check to us and we give the money to them, but they're already counting the miles and now they're charging us for transportation. So I look at it like, I'll transport all the high school kids, even if they didn't go to our school. I'll transport the high school kids. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to take the kindergarten through eighth grade kids up there. You guys send your own buses.
And do we pocket that money, or?
And then we get to keep the money for those kids that we drive up there. So we got to look at it and see. But I'm seriously considering that we maybe need to really seriously look at it.
I think we need to, because
I see that $67,000,
that's a
lot of money.
I know.
So, and then with the SPED money, if that's flowing through us, I'm wondering if we can't claim that for MO too. So I don't know. I have a lot of questions here.
Well, we need to do something because it's just they're bleeding us dry here, you know. They're jacking it up.
And, you know, they can give raises however they want. We don't have a say over it. And, you know, for them to increase the budget $132,000 in 1 year,
each kid, I don't know what the number is now, but if you could find out, each kid costs approximately $8,000 a year to educate.
That's what they're saying out of their M&O. They're paying $8,004 $405.15.
$8,004 for student. Okay.
Yeah, and then they're spending $9,795 per special ed student.
$9,000 what?
Yeah, it should be on that. Right, should be on this form here. If you go to that right down.
Oh, this guy. Oh,
yeah, it breaks it down how much they charge for each area and each student.
Oh, cost per student. Oh, thank you.
So the thing is that the other problem we're having with it is when you look at the numbers that they're using, and when Donna pulls the numbers from the state, they don't line up with the numbers they're using here with the numbers that we had last year. So we're trying to, because they're supposed to use last year's numbers and this year's numbers for next year. So those numbers aren't lining up. So we're trying to figure all that out.
And if we pocket that money for transportation, what can that money be used for?
Well, some of it will obviously go towards transportation, but then it's going to go right back into the M&O. I believe it can go back in the M&O.
I mean, we're going to use it for like maybe gas, maintenance of the bus and
tires,
stuff like that, but
right.
It ain't going to be the 67,000.
It's not even earmarked. And it's just going to be good to be saving that much money.
Well,
right?
The thing you've got to think about is,
I know
if you brought in $67,000 for 5 years in a row,
Okay,
you brought in $350,000 or close to that. Okay, what I would say is what we should do is then we go and maybe either buy a new minibus or buy a good used medium-sized bus, and then you've got another pretty good bus, trade in the oldest bus we have or the worst one, and now you got two better buses. So we actually have better transportation for our kids.
Okay.
And if we have to do this, there's somebody out there that has a bus driver license that's applied for a job here. So I think we could easily fill it. Otherwise, I'd be saying, another driver, you know.
Well, see, and this year, if you can help me figure out a way to approach it, because I know last year was the first time that I really kind of realized it, was that whenever we have kids that are going to the high school, and then they drop out. And that's why I asked Ms. Elias to get an updated list from the high school.
We did last year. We got a list.
We should do that every year.
Yep.
After I brought that up, we need to have a list of every student there. We're just paying for kids that dropped out.
And
they're not even telling us.
And honestly, that's the nice thing, because she knows, like, every kid in our school now and every kid that's been there for the last 8 or 9 years.
Who does?
Elias. She knows.
Oh,
she
can
look at the name and go, they weren't our kids. Or they left here in sixth
That's
grade.
That's because she had to be involved.
She remembers, but she remembers all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
good, because we shouldn't be paying for them. She ain't going to tell us.
All right.
Well, anything back from the Arizona General Auditor?
You know, one from our auditor that's going to come back, and I told you before, we're going to have things that we did not get fixed for last year's audit, because we focused on making sure everything was right this year. And then we worked backwards. So there are going to be some things that are going to go to the auditor. But from the auditor general, we are off a double secret naughty probation or whatever what we were on. They said we made significant changes and improvements. The only thing is that we are going to, we still have some things to keep working on and to polish up to be perfect. But like she told me when she called me, she just said, you know, nobody ever gets a perfect one anyway, so we'll always find something.
Well, and, you know, last year was a rough year, but I think you guys have done a good job wading through the whole thing, and we survived.
The real key, though, is to keep that in mind that we did not correct the things. We didn't go back and make up documents to put in so that there was documentation with everything that was missing documentation.
Right.
And so there are going to be things that are going to come back in the audit that are going to not be good. But we knew, I told you, that was going to be a bad one anyway. As we move forward now, the one we have for this past year will be good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
Yay.
All right. So the next meeting will be a special meeting on July 1st at
July 1st and 7
and
right now before
20
7:15 a.m.
7:15
July 1st.
Yes.
July 1st.
Oh, that's for the
budget
hearing. Okay.
7:15
a.m.
And we're not going to worry about. You want to talk about the tentative for the July 14 deadline.
And then, do you want to, we might as well call that one too, July 14th at 5:15 is the next regular meeting.
Special board meeting at 7:15, you said?
Yes.
7:15.
That's the first.
Yeah. July 1st. Okay. And then
the 14th we're doing at our regular time.
Yes.
Okay. Perfect. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just waiting for us to wrap it up.
Okay.
All right. That's it?
All right.
I would like to make a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Second that motion.
Aye.
And the time is?
The time is 7:11.
Thank you.